Hymn books number 44 as we start our worshiping service the last Sunday of the month of February. This is amazing. 2001 is almost going so fast, all right? Okay, number 44 being a Sunday in which we will address the issue of love in the banquet. Happened that today's scripture is on John 3. Which is speak of love, and for a while it's going to be on love. John 3 and John 4 are describing God's love. So, and can it be that I should gain? Number 44 in our hymn books. To our service at Bethel Baptist Church in Morin Hill, California. Our scripture for the weeks is settled in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, I have no seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Once again, our relationship with God is based upon our love for him. For those who are for the first time in our auditorium, will you please take one section of the church bulletin and identify yourself so that we know you have been with us, and we are so grateful that we will recognize your presence among us. And for the members of the church, there is another sign on the back of this section that you can communicate with the pastor. This evening, we will have the remarkable yearly love banquet right here in town, and those who are preparing themselves, we will enjoy ourselves, not only a good meal, but enjoy a good moment of hearing praises to God, and then looking upon the Bible, something that is very important, and a statement made by the Apostle Paul, love never fails. We're going to look in the Bible. Pastor will guide you through some seven things that, because of love, will never fail. So we hope to enjoy ourselves and to refresh ourselves in that issue, the love of God. We're going to continue in our praise. The next hymn is 441. And for those who are in the internet, we are grateful that you are there. Those who are in KKMC, we are more than grateful that you are tuning in to 8 a.m. in California. And then for those who listen to our tapes later on or watch our television broadcast, we thank you that you are in the part of our church. I want to read just a little paragraph from some of our listeners in the internet. This comes from Jersey City. And I've been many times in Jersey City and come from a family, the Vidal family, and said, please accept this calendar for this new year. Your live sermons on the KKMC.com website have been a blessing to us this past year. In the 2001, may our Lord bless you all in your service unto him for his truth and his glory and his love. And then the Vidal family came a little late because they put the address here in 810 Tenant Avenue. Now remember, this is no longer our address, and so went all around until they came into Family Radio. Anybody who writes Gabriel Otero, California, goes to Family Radio. That's every post office know me from Family Radio. When there are 70,000 mails a month, then your name gets be known. So if they can know, they cannot find me here, they send it to Oakland, and it took about a month, but came back to me. And we thank you, the Vidal family, for listening today, and we thank you for those who are listening all over the state of New Jersey and different places. And may God bless us as we stretch as much as possible the boundaries of the family of God, united by the love of God. 441, then, love lifted me.
Thank you.
you stand, please, as you turn the hymn books to number 450, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? And indeed it is. And so we're going to sing with great joy, number 450, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? Together, our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence once again with a heart of gratitude because of Your mercy and grace, allowing us to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church in the city of Morgan Hill, California, to preach the gospel and to look upon the scriptures and see the beauty and the presence and the great God that we have. And the amazing thing is that He's available. And so, Father, we want to make that God available to people. We praise His name. The choir is going to praise His name. The Bible is going to be read. And the Bible is going to be exposed. And Father, we pray that many will pay attention to Your word. And that many will be convicted through the power of the Spirit of God. We thank You, Lord, for our missionaries across the world. For our brother Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine with a great European mission. For Carl and Ruth Knott, our missionary in Huasca, Spain. For Eusebio and Marixa Perez in Malaga, Spain. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center here in Morgan Hill. For Ruben and Irene Zacher there in Lodi, California. And for the Athletic Association right here in the city of San Jose, reaching the young people for the Christ who love them. And now, Father, we pray for ourselves that as we have come to the house of God, we may be able to put aside all the difficulties and the drama and everything that happened last week. And now afresh, we sit down to listen the beauty of Thy word and the encouragement of Your counsel. And so, Father, we all have come here with some difficulty, some kind of drama in our life. Help us to take it off and to listen carefully to Your word. And Lord, may the counsel of Your word and the power of Your spirit lift us up so that when we leave the place, we can say truly that we have been with Jesus, the master of our life. Bless the offering as You always do, Father, and bless Your people. who give so sacrificially here in the city, in our church. And Father, above all, give us a good mind and give us a good heart, a cheerful heart, to say good things about the master of our life, Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. This is Pastor Terrell speaking, and I'm just encouraging you to look upon the day today, a day of worship, and I pray you will be blessed by the worshiping service here at Bethel Baptist Church. We pray once again that our telephone lines are always open, 408-778-2595. And whatever is in your heart, sometimes the heart is heavy because of the week or because of circumstances. We pray you will be able to reach us and we will be able to come for you. We're here to serve the community and the people who listen. So may God bless you and may God encourage you through our church service. Let's join the service in progress. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 900. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you to worship you and bring our prayers to you because of the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are amazed and humbled when we consider that you love us and call us your children, and that when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. We thank you that through the work of the Holy Spirit and your word, we know a system of truth and life that was formerly hidden from us and remains hidden to those that are in the world. We will always be grateful for your mercy and your love. We love you, Father, and pray that our desire to please you will always overcome any desire to sin against you while we are yet in this body. We ask now that you would bless your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the good news from the Bible, the news of your love for us. We ask that you will give us understanding as we hear the message this morning. And if there are any listening who do not know you, we pray that you will prepare their hearts that they may receive the truth and believe. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. May I encourage you to again open your Bible to 1 John in chapter 3. When the Apostle John wrote the letters of 1 John and 2 John and 3 John and later on the book of Revelation to those Christians of his century, he was quite elderly, and many people figured that he was way into his 90s. But one thing we know for sure, that he was concerned about his fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that's why he wrote these letters. He was concerned about the Lord's church. Perhaps he was aware of what Paul told the church of Ephesus, to whom he wrote these letters, that Paul said, when I depart from you, a wolf will come in and will lie to you and will destroy you. And that happened in the church of Ephesus and in the other churches. And John perhaps was aware of the warning of the Apostle Paul, and he, before his departure to heaven, he wanted the church to have a real appreciation of what really God is and was and is doing in their life. He wanted the Christians of that day to come to know God in all his greatness, not only as one part of God, but he wants the Christians to know how great is the God that we have. And so he writes these letters. Now, his concern for those Christians is very obvious in the text that our brother have read to you in 1 John chapter 3. And the first paragraph of that chapter 3 is verses 1 to 10. Now, two things I want to address to you today about that paragraph. And it's these: he wants the Christian to discover something. That's the first thing we're going to see. When he wrote that paragraph, he wants the Christians of that particular era to discover something, and also he wants the Christian to beware of something else. So in this short paragraph of 10 verses, the apostle is challenging the Christians to whom he addressed the letter to discover something and to be aware of something. So let's take these in consideration and look upon the scripture and see what the apostle has to say. First, he wants them to discover something. Now, what did he want them to discover? He wants them to discover God's love. It's obvious. Look in chapter 3 and in verse 1. And we read, "Behold," said the King James Version of the Bible, "what manner of love the Father," and look at the key word, "hath bestowed upon us." That is the center words of the text. "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." One of the tragedies in so many lives is that they leave them out and never discover the great love of God and the great love that God has for us. Look at the word bestow again. I said that's the key word in that particular text. This word is translated from a word called didymo. And that word didymo means to commit yourself. Sometimes it's translated in the King James Version to deliver you, and sometimes to give, and sometimes to grant unto you. It's when you pass a board examination, and then the chairman of the board comes and with a diploma and grant unto you the license to exercise whatever examination you took for. And that's the kind of word that is used here. God has not come to deliver his wrath to us, says John. Amazing. He had not come to deliver his wrath to his people. He came to deliver his love to us. Some will have you believe God is mean. Some people want that picture and enjoy watching mankind suffer. Some people think in that way. They believe the more we suffer, the more God delighted. Some people do that. Now, they seem to believe God is like the cruel boy. I don't know, you boys, if you did this. I did this when I was young. If God is like the cruel boy who find pleasure in holding a worm on the fire and watching him scream like that. Don't do that, but I did it. And some people think that God is like that. That God is watch a sinner goes worse and worse and he enjoy it. No, sir. What chapter 3, verse 1 said, God bestow his love upon us. Now, these people who believe these about God do not know the God of this Bible that you and I have. That's all. They remind us of a man who lived a reckless life and bad things happened to him. But he wants to blame his bad circumstances or other people for the things that happened to him when he is the cause of them. The Bible tells us clearly what God is to be blamed for. If you want to blame God for something, right here the Bible tells you what he is to blame for. Look at again in verse 1. He has bestowed such a love on us. Notice the honor that is bestowed upon us. Verse 1, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, if you want to blame God for something, blame God for that. God bestowed his love upon us. In such a degree, in such amount, that because of God's love, now you and I are called the sons of God. Wow. In this world, many honors are bestowed. As you notice, it will indeed be an honor to be a CEO of a great corporation. You are working in that corporation for years. And then the board call you and say, you know, the chairman of the board is leaving, and we think you are the person who need to be the one who succeed our chairman. It will be a great honor. It will be a great honor. Some President Bush call you and say, you know, we know your record, we know your makeup, we know your education, and I would like you to be ambassador. Some of the people have resigned to great positions because President Bush have called them to be ambassadors in certain places. And to be an ambassador is the greatest recognition a president and a nation can have on a person. As you know, an ambassador represents the entire nation and a piece of land foreign to him. And it's just a great recognition. Now, it would be a great honor to be a member of the royal family in Great Britain. Not only you become rich for the money you got, but a great honor. You have an open door any place you go if you're a member of the royal family in Great Britain. But the greatest honor possible to bestow upon anyone will be the honor to be called a child of God. Here's a child of God. Here's a child of God. Here's a son of God. That's the greatest honor. It's better than be called a child of God than a doctor in theology. A child of God. And the only reason we can be called a child of God or a son of God is because God's love is upon us. You know this? It's not because I went to seminary that I be called a son of God. No. It is not because my grandmother and my mother were great believers that I'm called a son of God. No. It is, said the scripture, because God outpoured his love upon my life. Something that most Christians have not discovered yet is the great love God has bestowed upon them to make them the children of God. We take that for granted. We're Christians, and we take that for granted. But you know, the Apostle Paul was one of God's choice servants. I don't know who is your favorite apostle, but Paul is one of the choice servants of God. And it was primarily because he had discovered the truth that he was what he was because of God's love and not because he was a philosopher. Remember in Galatians when he listed the 7 diplomas, PhD that he had? 7 PhD. And he mentioned only once and he said, I'm speaking in the flesh. The Galatian people had really worked on him that he got so mad that he said, you tell me that, look at. And then he listed all his diplomas. And then he said, forget it, I'm speaking in the flesh. The Apostle Paul knew that God loved him. If you really want to know that, you can move your Bible to Ephesians 3. And let me read a paragraph for you from verse 14 to 21. 7 verses of the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 3, that you will be delighted to know that here is a man of super intelligence, here is a writer of writers, and the only thing he speaks of about greatness is the great love of God. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause, he said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in theology. No. Do you see that? When I look into that, I was amazed. That you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the high, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amazing. Amazing. The Apostle Paul, the greatest of all the writers, the masterpiece of the theology, which Augustine called the greatest of all theologians. He measured, when he talks about measuring in theology, he said, the greatest thing that happened to you is that God put his love on you. I think you are understanding that your salvation doesn't depend on your performance, but your salvation depends on God's love. That's what he's saying. Now, the question is obvious. What kind of love did God bestow upon us? What kind of love? And let me list it, a few of them. I don't know why I prepared so much material. I had 7 pages to talk to you, but that clock, I know it's going to block me in 1 or 2. But I tell you this. Let me show you what kind of love God has bestowed upon you. First, number one, it is an unconditional love. Unconditional love. No, any of us are children of God because of our own merits. Unconditional love. No one of us are children of God because of our own merits. Look in Romans 5 and in verse 8, please. If you look in your Bible in the book of Romans, in chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Apostle Paul clarifies something so important and in such an easy way. He said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet, what? Sinners. Let's never forget that. Christ died for us. Let's never forget that text. God doesn't wait for us to clean up our act before he loves us. Do you know this? God doesn't wait until Anthony clean up his act with his daddy and mommy to love him. No, 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 no. That's not what the Bible says. He loves us before we ever have a clue or an idea of God. That really blows your mind. God loves us before we even had no concept of God. He loves you. That's what he says here. You don't believe me? Listen carefully. I don't have the time to go through the scripture, but I mentioned to you. I don't know how many of you have read the book of Hosea. Because I'm on the council in a spot once a week on the phone, I have to read that book almost every week to understand and how to counsel Mary Campbell's. In the book of Hosea contains a story. God asked his prophet Hosea to do an strange thing that is not a common practice for anybody, but just only for Hosea. He asked Hosea to marry a harlot. Now, in the Bible, there are many provisions for marriage, especially for a pastor. For example, he cannot marry a pastor, a former harlot. The scripture specified that there is an outline for a pastor who can he marry. But in this case, here is a prophet of God, and God said to Hosea, you marry a harlot. And after they had been married for a while and had a couple of children, she did what many wives do. You know what she did? She went back to work. She went back to being a harlot. That was her work. People marry, have children, the wife take care of the children. When the children are at school and so on, they go back to work. That's what she did. What kind of job you do? I'm a harlot. And so she went back to work as a harlot. And how do you handle the situation, man? If your wife said, well, I go back to work and I'll be a prostitute in San Francisco. Wait for me tonight. How do you handle the situation? Well, God told Hosea how to handle the situation. Instead of telling Hosea to dump her and say, I'm going to divorce you, God told Hosea to take her back. You go back to the market street and buy and take her home. Now, why? The whole book of Hosea tells you why. When you read the end chapters, God is saying, this is Israel. Israel had me from the beginning and went back into the world. But don't worry about it. I'm going to love my people to the very end. Wow. That's unconditional love. You know, when you and I sin, we are going back to being a harlot. That's tough, but that's the way it is. There is one thing that really you and I have to be grateful is that we don't have to get saved again. You know why? God's love remains on us. The reason God has not dumped us a long time ago is because he loves us with an unconditional love. God's love is an unconditional love. It's a love that is not conditioned to your performance or my performance. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Now, it's also a sacrificial love. It's an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. The world's idea of love begins with, what are you doing or what are you going to give me? That's the idea of the world. God's idea of love is all about how much he wants to give us. It's an entire different idea. An entire different idea. Now, let me touch bases with you so that you understand. At Christmas time, in America, we give gifts to each other. And I say in America because this broadcast goes all over Europe, and we give gifts on January the 6th in other countries, but not on December the 25th. January the 6th is the Christmas day for the Europeans, Greek Orthodox. And this has been the official time of the gift in most of the countries. And we give gifts to each other. Most of the time, this is a time we say for giving. But it's not for giving, it's a swapping gift. You give a gift to expect another gift. And you pack your gift and you send it out. And you give a gift to people and you wait for their gift, and if their gift do not come next year, you erase them from your list. Or you open the package and you know how much you spend for that person. If that person sends you a little less, boy, that depresses you. So look, I spent $100 for this thing and they send me $10 a gift. So it's a swapping gift, it's not a giving gift, and people think that God is the same. God loved us with a sacrificial love. He gave all because he loved us. Look at John 3:16. Do you remember John 3:16? You know what the Bible said? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Everything God had, he gave it to us. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, if you are saved, God has given you everything he possesses, his Son. I was looking for a story to explain John 3:16 to you. And I found it in the library of Oxford in England. And a story happened about maybe 80, 90 years ago. The story is told of a man who had the duty of raising a drawbridge to allow the steamer to pass on the river below and lower it again for the train that will coming up. And there is one like this in Alameda in California, one bridge like that. One day, this man's son visited him and desiring to watch his father at work, quite curious, as most boys are, he peeked into the trap door because the father left the trap door always open to see that the crank will function correctly. Now, suddenly the boy lost his foot and tumbled and went into the gears of the machine. As the father tried to reach down to pull him out, he heard the whistle of the approaching train. Now he knew the train will be full of people. He also knew it will be a terrible dilemma to let his son there and die. If he saved the people, his son will be crushed in the cogs of the machine. Frantically, he tried to free the boy, but do not avail. Then finally the father put his hand on the lever that will start the machinery. He pushed the lever, and then the tears pulled from his eyes and the lever go down, the bridge go down. The giant gears began to work and the bridge clamps down just in time for the train to pass. Certainly, the boy died, but that's not the whole case. The point that the author made here is this. The passengers in the train know nothing of what that father had done. They were laughing, they were making merry, yet the bridge keeper had chosen to save their life and spare his son. That's exactly what happened to us, folks. We enjoy our salvation. I hope you do. And we are so glad. But let's think for a moment. We are saved because the Father did not give us his Son. We are the people in the train. They cross the deadline because the Father sent his Son to die, my friend. We so many times we misunderstand what God has done. Many are going through life laughing and making merry. They have no idea the great sacrificial love God has bestowed upon us. When God said that God bestowed his love upon us, that's what that means. He gave us his Son, that he died for us so we can cross the bridge to everlasting life. It was an unconditional love. It is a sacrificial love. And it is also an unending love. Unending love. People who base their idea of love on what they see on television believe love is something that just kind of comes and goes. Like a 24-hour flu. That's what people think love is. 1 minute they have it, the next minute it's gone. My friend, God is love. And God's love is not that way. It is unending. You want to know that? Look in Romans in chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, what God has to say about his love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, the Apostle Paul asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, said the Apostle Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from where? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of God's love, Christians have become the children of God. This is absolutely the highest honor can be bestowed upon a person. But when we tell the world that we are the children of God, look at them, 1 John 3:1, what happened then? Suppose you said to somebody, you know, I'm a child of God. You take a plane, you sit down, you are two passenger seat, and you say, hi, how are you? My name is Gabriel Otero. I'm a child of God. What do you expect? Well, you expect what John 3:1 said. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. If a person sitting by you doesn't know the Lord, he will not know you. When Christ told lost mankind who he was, they accused him of blasphemy. Remember, the Pharisees said, you have blasphemed, and finally crucify him. And when we tell them that God's love has been bestowed upon us, and now we are the children of God, they push us aside, not recognizing the honor that has given to us. An unbeliever don't want nothing to do with you because you have God's love on you, and he does have no idea. Look at them, verse 2, if you are in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice this is in the present tense. Is that right? Look at John again. John did not say that we one day will be the sons of God. No, he said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. You're a believer? Now you are the son of God. But there is more to it than that. He went on to say, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. From verse 1 to verse 2, John takes us into the future. When the Lord Jesus returns for his church, everything we claim to be true shall be manifested, said John. That's what he's saying. That is, we shall see him as he is, and we shall become like Jesus. Now, that's the honor you and I have. Look at them, 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. For now we see through glass, darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. But we who have these love of God that bestow upon us must go on to something else, John tell us. He said, you need to know something. God love you. And also, you need to be aware of something. Look at verse 3 now in 1 John chapter 3. You need to know something. You need to be identify something. God love you. My friend, God love you. You are a child of God. God, the God of heaven, love you. He gave his son to die for you. No merit on your part, no work in your part, nothing you have done that was done. All of God, he love you. But also be aware of something. Verse 3. And every man that had this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Where does God place the responsibility of our life? Because he loves us. Look at it again. And every man that had this hope of the love of God in you, purify himself. God's word says, since we are his children, every man who has this hope in him, purify himself even as he is pure. The comparison of our purity is not with your pastor, is not with so-and-so, it's with God. So we see with great blessing comes what? Responsibility. Responsibility. We have heard many scandals about the royal family in Great Britain. Is that right? At least I read about them. Now, why that happened? Because many of the young members of the royal family have not taken their responsibility. That's all. With position comes responsibility. You know that? You work as a laborer, you have that one kind of responsibility. You are a farmer, you have another kind of responsibility. You are a manager, you have another kind of responsibility. The same thing in the kingdom of God. The royal family of God have responsibility to live in that fashion because we have not taken the responsibility that comes with our position seriously. This grace has come upon the life of many of God's children. And you cannot blame God for this. Verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Often we hear Christians, and very often, state, oh, I am praying that God will take away this bad habit from me. I heard that over and over, and I laugh when they say that. I really laugh. Listen carefully. God did not give them, or did not give you the bad habit. Why should God take it away? He don't give it to you. You, as a free moral agent, made a choice to do things you have done. Now, as a child of God, it should be your choice to purify yourself as he is pure. Don't blame God if we are not pure. Let's blame ourselves. We are not serious about our Christianity then. See, God's love is something good to talk, but let's talk about the other side of God's love, which is our responsibility. I also, from a magazine in England, got this story that a group of teenagers were enjoying a party. And some suggested that they go to a certain restaurant to have a final moment of the party with a good time. And one lady by the name Jan said, I'd rather you take me home. She said that to her date. My parents, she said, do not approve of that particular restaurant. And one of the girls who heard it said, afraid of your parents, eh? Like saying you're like a baby. And she said, no, she said, no, I'm not afraid of my parents. I am not afraid that my father will hurt me. But I'm afraid that I will hurt my father if I go to that place. Now, that is responsibility. That's what you young people should have in your heart. I will not go to that place because that place will hurt my father in earth and my father in heaven. That's responsibility. The final words are from John, chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. Look at what he said. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have no seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In these the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that love not his brother. Whew. What is John saying? Simply is saying this. If you have discovered the abundant love of God has so freely bestowed, and now you're a child of God, along with that position comes something gorgeous, responsibility. That's the first lesson you teach to somebody who just became a believer. That's the first lesson. Some people say, what theology you teach somebody who believes? You teach it that now that he's a child of God, he's responsible to God with his life. If I had to put the whole sermon in a little snatch of a verse, I will use the book, the letter of the Apostle Jude in verse 21. Remember, it's only one chapter, just before the book of Revelation, just one chapter. In Jude chapter 1, in Jude verse 21 said, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. If you are a believer in Christ, the love of God is in you. My brother, don't take that for granted. Don't take that, well, keep yourself in the love of God. And so when you're going to do something, you do it to God because you love him. Remember that. You're going to do something because you love him. Keep yourself in the love of God. Don't keep any other rule. The Bible is very simple. No more rules. Keep yourself in the love of God. Do what you do because you love God. You will see how many things you scratch in your life. How many things. You will see that you have time for church. Pray meeting. You will see that you have time for church in the morning, time for church in the evening. You will see you have time to read the Bible in the morning. If you get the love of God moving in you, then you will be a different Christian. I guarantee it. By the man who made the suits. I guarantee it to you. The only thing you need is no more time, is no new job, is no new makeup, is no psychologist, is the love of God in you. Is the God of love in you? If it's the love of God in you, you're a different person. You live for him until you die. But we need Christians like that today. And the whole city of Morgan Hill, when they see it, they will melt in the presence of God. My brother, I'm not here wasting my time. I'm here preaching with all my heart to you. I need to see Christians with the pants on. That's what my coach said when we went to the field. I want you to play until you die. Put your pants on and hurt yourself if you die, but don't let the goal come into your goalie. And I did it my time because I love that coach. Do you love our coach? You will be different. Brother and sister, let's not play anymore. Let's move on because God hath bestowed his love upon us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the greatness and the power and the majesty of your love is in each one of us. Oh God, help us not to play anymore with our responsibility. Help us to see that we are responsible to that amount of honor and glory that has been put in our heart. Oh God, help us to throw the garbage away from our life and to honor you and to walk with you. And to be with God's people. And to have the desire to spread this gospel to everywhere. So that you can bestow your love to your children according to your pleasure. Oh, we love you, God. Help us to demonstrate it with our responsibility. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pain or sorrow
Will you stand, please, as we pray? Thank you, Mrs. Noriel, for that beautiful song. Remind us again of God's love. Father, we are all hungry for your love.